This is your host, Dr. Mesima Shabazz.
Hello, good afternoon. Thank you for joining me this Friday afternoon once again. And I am Dr. Mesima Shabazz, and I'm happy to be with you to continue our conversations. This Friday, I want to talk to you about women's empowerment and why I take such interest in this topic and how I came to be doing this work in the first place. I have to take you back home to my country in Ghana and to the community where I grew up. I grew up in a town, cosmopolitan town, and we had the Cocoa Research Institute of Ghana. And so you meet a lot of people from diverse backgrounds, different tribes, different nationalities, different races. And we all lived very peacefully together. As a child, I had the pleasure, I want to say privilege, of living a very interesting life. And I enjoyed a lot in my community. Now, the Cocoa Research Institute even afforded us to be able to really see how cocoa grew. And you take a pod of cocoa, and when you crack it open, you see the beans so beautifully aligned, and it had this filmy substance on it that you could suck, and it was sweet. But then the irony of this is as you got closer to the bean and you bit into it, it got so bitter. It's just magnificent, just beautiful stuff. I could tell you about natural berries that grew in my town. One of them is called Tammy, and Tammy is very sweet. They were wild berries, and you pick one and you know you eat it, and everything you eat after that is very sweet. So you could cut into a lemon and eat right after that, and it tastes like a very sweet orange, something like that. Pretty cool stuff. So why women's empowerment? Well, about age 8, I started paying attention. I was aware. I was that child where I saw my mother and grandmother often ask me questions about things that seemed out of this world. They liked my opinion on things. And they did it so nonchalantly that I didn't take it that seriously. But it was after I grew up some that I realized what they were trying to do. They were tapping into my intuition a little bit. So anyway, back to women's empowerment. As a young girl, I noticed, especially within the communities that we lived, we had a diverse group of people, including economic status. So it's unlike here where you have certain communities just reserved for certain income brackets, etc. Within the community, you have from the highest income to the lowest income and different tribes, as I mentioned before. And so you relate to one another, and each strand, like I said, as in a spider web, is connected to the other. And so the success of each group is dependent on the entire group. Not one group is not more successful than the other. In fact, the wealthy become more responsible for those who have less within that community, right? And so with wealth, with affluence, with power comes more responsibility. Back to women's empowerment. Just giving you a little background about the structure of things. But at age 8, I started noticing things that women did in our community or communities. And women did a lot, so much more than I could process at that time. And one thing that stood out in my mind was seeing the farmers and their wives. They leave at dawn to their farms, and they come home late afternoon. And as they're walking back home, you see the woman carrying on her head the food that they would use for the week. So they do once a week kind of trip to the farm and back. And the load is quite heavy. It looks heavy, at least from the way she's moving. It looks quite heavy. And it will have sometimes plantains, yams, cocoa yams, spinach, but it's a different kind of spinach, you know, and vegetables, tomatoes, garden eggs, etc. So it's a big load for the entire week. And sometimes she would even have on her back her toddler wrapped tightly on her back. And so she's moving with this load on her head, balancing all the weight, and they do it so beautifully. And then a few feet behind her is the man with the cutlass, what you call machete here, under his arm, a walking stick, whatever he uses when he goes to his farm, maybe smoking a pipe, and gingerly walking behind her. And I look at it and I thought, oh no, I'm not doing that. But then it gets more interesting. In our storytelling sessions that typically occurs after supper, in the evenings just right before bed, we have a group of kids in a circle and an elder telling stories. And one of the stories I remember clearly was about Tompala. Tompala is this powerful woman. And they told us how she will walk and step on the ground, and the earth shook under her feet. And so she steps, and there's vibration on the earth, etc. And the kids in the community will cling to her feet, and she'll be carrying some on her back. And every so often, her breasts were so big that she would even throw it over her shoulder to feed the kids behind her. And she moved so gracefully and powerfully. And so I'm wondering, okay, that is not the woman that I see walking from the farm home, right? And then I come back to my family, the women exemplars, my grandmother, my mother, my aunties, and they act differently. And so I'm trying to reconcile why all these differences are happening. Now, my grandmother was like Tompala. She was quiet, but very powerful. She didn't say much, but when she spoke, her words were that. It was gentle, it was loving, but it carried with it some power. My mother, as a school teacher, used her skills to connect to all the others in the community about education and really lifting people up to see other things in the world, to grow. My aunt Araba, we call her Buja Master, firecracker, and she was a firecracker. I saw her drill men into place so adeptly that it was impressive, really, to watch. And the question I had was, how are these dynamic situations occurring? So when I think of women's empowerment, looking at this picture, I'm thinking of the dignity of being. It's not so much what you do, but how you're doing it and the reasons why you're doing it. Because all through my life and in my own experiences, I recognize that that load that that woman was carrying that I observed as a child does not end there, right? I see women today carrying those same loads. So while figuratively she carried that load, we all carry loads in one shape or form, because we haven't come to terms with our dignity of being. As I write in my poem, I am a woman in in a man's world, born to be adored by my lover. But that adoration does not only relate to my spouse, it relates to all other relationships with family, in my friendships, at my job. And so if I'm at the workplace and somebody comes in and tries to demean or say things that are not in line with my dignity and of being, I'm not having it. Now, I see opportunities and ways that we can really begin to establish our power from within. It's not about how much we say out there. It is about recognizing within us our own queendom. And I mean that. And so coming up soon, I plan to begin my women's empowerment gathering. And I'm going to set a date so that we can start the conversation. It will be a 7-week period, which I usually do. And we are meeting to share our stories because I believe that it is in sharing that we are able to really support one another and give the necessary support that would uplift us and help us move from the things that don't make us feel so good. We can have and share laughter. As I talked about in my four bones of existence, humor is really important if we're going to feel empowered about the things we want to do. We have to be able to laugh about our mistakes. I also know this, that we need to support one another because no one person achieves success alone. At every stage in life, you encounter new teachers, new guides, new support systems to guide us to the next steps. And so this group is intended to do all that. And in the 7-week period, we meet at an hour at a time. I'll post the details on my Facebook page at my website, mensima.com, and also LinkedIn, I believe. I'm on several other places you'll find me. To close, I just want to say this. We are moving into a new era where we women have to step up if we want this earth, that nurturing earth, that mother that we are connected to. Our empowerment does not depend on men. Our empowerment is dependent on our connection to nature. And I always talk about our creation stories, about the womb and the creation of life. Our children are dependent on us to make this right for them so they would live a brighter future. It is time, really, high time, that we stepped into our role of power, of love, and of peace. And we can do that together. And so I look forward to connecting with you soon. And thank you for joining me. Thank you. Much love.